Should we just close our eyes and just ask God to speak to us? You know, sometimes we can come to church and, you know, people can pray for you, but you might not want to receive it, you know. So just take a couple of minutes now. And we just ask you, Lord, and you can pray along with me in your heart if you want to. Father, would you speak to us now? We don't want to hear me speaking, Father, but we want to hear you for ourselves this morning. Show us, Holy Spirit, where we're at. Encourage us, Lord, and challenge us. And help us to keep running the race. Lift us up where we're feeling weary and tired or bored. And give us a mighty encouragement and some awesome training this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, would you like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. This morning I want to speak about what I was praying about there. I want to speak about running the race. And this is what this passage of scripture is talking about. So before I read it, a little bit of the background to this. So in chapter 11, it's just talking about all the heroes of old. Abraham, Moses, Noah, Jacob, Esau, Isaac. And all these ancient heroes of the Old Testament. It's talking about all these in chapter 11. And then in chapter 12, it says, it starts with this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, talking about these heroes of old, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So you know it's talking about our life, our Christian journey, being like a race, not just a little run or a little jog, but a race. And there's a big difference. If you've ever done any racing or any running or anything like that, you know as well as I do that there's a massive difference between just going out for a little jog, whew, that was fun, and between setting your stopwatch, getting others involved, boop, trying to beat your time, okay, go. Poof. There's something very different about the two. And our Christian journey is like a race. And that the thing is with a race is it's hard work. And I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you feel like you're just tired and things are hard work. It's following God and going for him and resisting the world and resisting the devil and pursuing and going for it. It can be hard work. So this morning, what I believe God wants to do for us is to encourage us in our race and a bit of training as well. Does that sound good? So first of all, the first thing it says is, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I mean, it's very easy to think, oh yeah, everyone's against me. No one's with me. No one's for me. You know, people at work, people at church, the enemies, everyone's against me. I'm battling through, I'm pushing through. But that's not entirely true. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Mighty men and women of God from decades ago are sat in a stadium watching you run your Christian race, and they're absolutely for you, not against you. I remember when I was about 9 years old in 1992, my dad ran in the Paralympics in Barcelona, and it was just such an amazing thing for a little kid to go and see his dad run in the Paralympics. And it was just, I was only about nine, I was absolutely just overwhelmed with this experience, you know. And he was staying in the Olympic Village, and me and my mum and my little brother were staying in a hotel, some, you know, about half an hour away or something, because they needed their own space and special training and diets and whatever else. And we were just so excited, you know, to watch my dad run in the Paralympics in Barcelona, a massive stadium, 30,000 odd people there. And it was just like, it was like Christmas, you know, it was awesome. And he ran in three different races that I can remember: the 100 metres, the 200 metres, and the 400 metres. And his favourite was the 400 metres. But that was the last race. He was 37 years old, so he wasn't going to get another chance 4 years later because he would have been getting too old. So this was his one and only chance, his last chance, his only chance to run and get a medal in this race. And we all knew this, and we were just like, yeah! It was amazing. So first race, we get there in the stadium. It's filling up with people because we get there really early because we're really excited. And thousands more people come in, and it's just overwhelming for a little kid. And then we see him come out onto the starting blocks for the 100 metres for the first race. And he's in all his lycra, you know, looking pretty weird. And he's on the starting blocks, and I'm seeing him on the big screen, and I'm like looking and pushing people out of the way to try and see him. He gets down on the starting blocks, and the guy shouts, you know, on your marks. So they're all down, and there's just total silence in the crowd. Complete silence. You can hear people breathing. Thousands of people. Set. And then he gets ready. And then it feels like you're waiting forever. And I'm just like... And then... And then poof, they're off. 100 metres. Like, come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. And there's loads of other people cheering for the people from their countries. But I'm like, no, shut up, you, my dad. Come on, Dad. And I'm seeing him running, and he gets off to a good start. He gets off to a great start. And then other people who are faster come and overtake one by one. And I'm like, no. And then he doesn't end up getting a medal in that race. And I was sort of like, didn't do very well in that one. I was like, oh. Devastated. Thought, okay. A few days later, the 200 metres, same thing again. In the stadium, all excited. Thousands of people coming in. He comes out again, dressed in his lycra again. Gets on his starting blocks, 200 metres this time. On your marks. Set. Silent. Bang! Poof, go! Come on, Dad! You can do it! You're the best! Shut up, you Americans! And no, you know, come on, you and my dad! And he did a bit better than the 100 metres, but he got overtaken by a couple of people again, and he didn't get a medal, and I was like in tears, you know, crushed, devastated. And then a few days later was the 400 metres, which was his favourite, and it was his last race. But at one point we got back to our hotel, you know, a couple of days before this race, and someone at the hotel told us that the men's 400 metre final was on right now. Tonight, and we thought, oh no, we're going to miss it. So we jumped in a taxi and got there, and we thought we'd missed his race, but we hadn't. And we were like, oh, just a big mistake. Eventually, the real day came for the 400 metre final. Same again, last race. I mean, I can't explain how I felt. I was just bursting inside. So we get there mega early. We're like excited, but really nervous as well. And we just wanted him to do well, get a medal. So we get there. Thousands of people come into the stadium again. And then they come out again. This time it's his last race, and he's sort of pacing up and down, and seeing him on the big screen, dressed in his lycra. And then he gets down on the blocks again. On your marks. I mean, this is it. Set. Bang! Come on, Dad! You can do it! You're awesome! You're the best! Come on! And then he's doing quite well. He's starting off steady, and he gets round. And then he's coming near the front, right near the front. And then the last 100 metres, he starts to sprint. And then a couple of other people are creeping up behind him. And he's coming third. And then this guy's coming fourth behind him. I'm like, oh, no. Come on. You can do it. And this guy almost comes, and he crosses the finish line and comes third. And gets a bronze medal. Is that awesome? And I was like, yeah! You know, oh, wow, oh, awesome, you know. And I don't know, you know, how you feel sat here this morning. Maybe you feel like everyone's against you and everything's against you. But the truth is, you have such a great cloud of witnesses who are absolutely ecstatic for you, not against you, who love you, who want you to win and succeed and do well. And if you fall, or if you trip up, or if you sin, or if you stop running, or if you get tired, they're not going to be like, ah. They're still like, come on, get up, son. Get up, daughter. You can do it. Come on, keep going. For you, with you, loving you, encouraging you. Is that awesome? I mean, that's what the Bible says. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, I don't feel like that every day, but after reading this, it makes me think differently. Like, wow, you know, you might be in a place where you just feel terrible, but, you know, you have such a great cloud of witnesses for you. They're all in the stadium absolutely for you. There's not some that are cheering for someone else and some that everyone's for you, encouraging you, cheering you on. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. And we have the most awesome witness of all in the stadium, God himself, our Father. His eyes absolutely on you. He's the supreme witness. And you're his child. You're his son. You're his daughter. He absolutely loves you. He'll be the one shouting the loudest for you. He'll be the one devastated when you fall or get hurt. He'll be the one rooting for you, cheering for you the loudest more than anybody. Because he sees you. He sees you in your race and he wants you to succeed and do well. Some of you know that my wife Esther's just over 12 weeks pregnant. And we went for our little scan on Tuesday last week. And it was just amazing, you know. Like, we're waiting for about an hour, you know, in the hospital waiting room. Like, eventually we go in and I didn't know what to expect. I thought, you know, it'd take 10 minutes for the, like, screen to warm up or something. I don't know. I've never had a first child. But I just was just like, didn't know what to expect, really. You know, you see other people's scans before and you think, oh, yeah, nice. But when it's like, yours, it's like, ooh. And, they, you know, they put the scan on the tummy and it popped on the screen straight away. Like, poof, straight away on the screen. I saw my little baby for the first time ever. And I was like, I saw it before Esther did. Esther was just laid down there and the screen was there. I was sat just looking at it and I was like, and by the time, like, Esther looked at me, I was just in tears, you know, and I saw the little baby and it was moving around, it was kicking its little arms and little legs. And I'm sure it looked at me once. What are you looking at? It felt like that, you know, and it opened its little mouth and it was like yawning or something. I was like, oh. And you know what? I want that child to do so well. I'm going to be their father. And I want them to succeed. I'm like, come on, little baby, keep growing. Keep eating well. Keep growing. Come on, get strong. I'm going to see you face to face one day soon. And it's just going to be wonderful. I'm going to love you. Just keep going. You can do it. Keep growing. Keep growing. That's what God the Father thinks about you. And many times more than that. Many times more. Because he's the perfect Father. And he's not against you at all. He sees you on his screen 24/7. All the time. How numerous are your thoughts to me, O God, it says in the Bible. How vast the sum of them. If I was to try and count them all, wouldn't be able to, basically. You're always on his screen. He sees you all the time. And he's just rooting for you. He loves you. He's moved when he sees you. He wants you to do well and to succeed because you're his child and he's your almighty Father. And he loves you. You know, we're not running this race alone, are we? Absolutely not running this race alone. It's so much easier to run in a team than on your own. Have you ever tried going out for a little run on your own? It's just boring, you know. Like, yeah, let's go out for a run. Yeah. Try. I used to go out for a run. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great, yeah. It's so boring and just hard work, you know. But if you're in a team and there's a few of you going out together, it's just much easier and much more fun. And we have this awesome team, all these witnesses, God himself, Jesus, the Holy Spirit with us, for us, loving us, rooting for us. Not blasting us when we sin, but just moved and, oh, come on, get up, you can do it. That's our God. That's heaven. Absolutely for you. So we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I don't know about you, but that encourages me mightily in my race. Give me strength to keep going. It also says to throw off everything that hinders. To throw off everything that hinders. You know, we talk about this sort of thing, you know, a fair bit here. About, you know, sort of streamlining our life and giving up things that cause us a sin and whatnot. But, it, you know, it's really important in a race, you know, to throw off things that hinder. If you think of a Formula One car. I mean, I wonder where they started with a Formula One car. I wonder if they had, like, some big people carrier with, like, you know, or a big lorry or something. I thought, yeah, right, let's start by, you know, knocking a few meters off the back. and then let's take the radio out on the speakers because they're quite heavy and, you know, I don't know. But there's sort of streamlining it and they're taking off things that will hinder that car and not help it and make it more aerodynamic. And that's like what we need to do in our life. Not because we need to just beat ourselves and oh yeah, I need to get rid of this because I like it, or just punish ourselves or something weird. It's not about that. It's about because it's hindering us actually and not helping us. You know, I don't know what it may be for you that sort of hinders you. I don't know sort of what music it is that you may listen to with, like, you know, just aggressive lyrics in it, or DVD series that are just full of, like, worldly junk, or, I don't know, things like even, like, the radio. One of the things I hate about work is the radio's always on, and it's, like, just pumping out pure garbage all the time. And I'm like, flipping out, you know, this is, like, demoralising, you know. Oh, yeah, so what's the main reason why people get divorced? And making entertainment out of divorce, you know, it's just sick. Like, it's like things like this that are just a hindrance to us in our race, they are. And it's easy to be led into deception here and to start thinking, well, you know, it's just quite hard, this racing, this Bible reading, or, you know, going for God, it's just too hard. I just need a little something, you know. I need a little something that's just me, just for me, or something that I can just unwind to, you know. And I understand that, but if it's unhelpful, there's nothing wrong with certain musics and TV, obviously, but certain things are unhelpful. So I would just say, what's a hindrance to you? What sort of things do you listen to that's pumping out junk, that's going to be a hindrance to your race? And to throw off those things that are hindering. Like I say, it's not, you know, about being horrible to ourselves, but it's about helping us to run faster and to run better. And this is what God wants us to do, to run, and to run the best race possible. It's like hiking with a big backpack on. I don't know if you've ever done any walk, like long walks or anything, like with a big backpack on, like a hike or when camping or something, I don't know. But if you have a big heavy backpack on and you're just sort of walking around the hills or around the countryside for a long time, you sort of forget it's there really, and you just get used to it, and you think, well, this is just how it is, you know. It's only when you take it off and put it down and then start walking again, it's just like, oh, yeah, that's just, oh, I never knew it could be so fun and so easy and so much better, you know, and that's what it's like. So we can be easily led into deception when we think, oh, it's all right just to have a bit of this, bit of these worldly things, a bit of this stuff, a bit weird, a bit dodgy, a bit whatever, that's pumping out junk, because we, like, want it a bit. But really, it's not hard when we get rid of it. It is initially, but only for a split second, like ripping off a piece of Velcro, and then it's done, and then, oh, yes, wow, this is much better, this is much more fun, I can run faster, it's easier, I have more joy and peace, and it's just awesome. That's what God wants for us. To throw off everything that hinders. And the sin that so easily entangles. You know, the thing with sin is, it's easy to get caught up in. One lie here, and then another lie to cover up that lie, and then another lie to cover up that lie, and then another lie to that person. And before you know it, you're just in a web of lies or sin or whatever, you know, whatever it may be. It's very easy to get caught up in it, to get caught up in sin. And you know, God knows this. And he absolutely loves you. And that's why he wants you to run your race in the right places. You know, if I get up early in the morning, I don't go for a run in the morning anymore. But I used to. If you get up early in the morning for a run, and you're running down like a narrow sort of country path with loads of trees sort of in the woods, then I'm going to get like caught up in cobwebs. I'm going to get cobwebs on me. It's going to not be very nice. But then if I come to an open plain and I run there, then it's just going to be the wind in my face. There's going to be no cobwebs. It's just going to be a lot more easy and a lot more fresh and free from the cobwebs. So I wonder where you're running. I wonder if you're running in the places that are easily leading you to get caught up in sin, or whether you're running, trying to run away from sin. and away from the world in that sense. That's not, you're not easily getting caught up in sin. Sort of, who are you knocking around with, or what kind of things like that that are causing you to get caught up in this sin easier, and to sort of part yourself from those things, because it's throwing it off. It's just streamlining our life. Just like that Formula One car, getting rid of this, getting rid of the big heavy tyres, getting rid of the radio and the whatever else is in was in there, I don't know. Making it aerodynamic and streamlined to be able to go fast and effective for God and to enjoy it and to just be blessed. And it also says to run with perseverance. To run with perseverance. Now, this Christian race, when it's spoken of, it's talked about in the context of being a long-distance event, not just a short sprint. And there's a very big difference, obviously. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard the term, you know, it's a marathon and not a sprint. And that's true of our Christian race. It is a marathon and not a sprint. And, you know, there's a massive difference. You see these marathon runners, and they're just dead slim and skinny, and you see, you know, sprinters, and they're just massive, and you think, oh yeah, they look different, and you know that they run differently. A sprinter is just 100%, 100% as fast as they can possibly go for a short distance of time, but they can't keep that pace up forever. And a marathon runner, they run so differently. They start off steady, and they get into a steady pace, and they start to stretch the legs out, and then they're just going steady away, steady away, steady away. You can run for miles and miles and miles like that at a good, steady pace. And that's what our race is. It's an endurance race. It's not a sprint, you know. It takes sort of experience and tactics, really. Running tactics, you know, to learn a bit, especially at first. I mean, when I was in the military, one of the things they used to make us do was this sort of 1.5 mile fitness test. It was just a basic fitness test. We'd run 1.5 mile as fast as we could. And the first time I ever did this, I'd never really ran before or anything. I didn't know how to do it. I was just so like, I thought I was so cool and so young and so fit, and I was like dead angry. And I thought, yeah, I'll just set off, go, and I'll just sprint. Because I want it so bad, and I'll just sprint. So I started sprinting as fast as I could. Then after a couple of hundred metres, I was just like, you know, and it was like, it wasn't the right way to run. But it took me a while to sort of understand, like, I want it so much, but like, why do I get so tired, like, angry myself? I was like, right, rah. So I kept doing this for a while. So we did it quite regular. So I'd do another one, still quite inexperienced, and I would start off, yeah, I didn't do it well last time, but this time I can do it, sprinting, bang. And I was overtaking, like, loads of people, you know, at first. I was like, yeah, get out of my way, get out of my way. And I was sprinting, come on, thinking I was great. And then again, after a few hundred metres, and then halfway around, get overtaken by someone, you know. It's so demoralising and discouraging. And then get overtaken by someone else. And all these people I'd pushed back out the way at first, but then pushing me out the way. And I was like, so demoralised, discouraged, exhausted, getting overtaken and just finishing, just tired, weak. And I was doing this for a while, and I thought, what am I doing wrong? And I was chatting to one of the guys who was a better runner, and I was sort of asking him, you know, like, how do you run? Like, how do you always do so well, you know? And I thought, and I just wanted to know, you know, I wanted to find out and learn from him how he ran and how he did well. And that's a good thing for us to do in our spiritual journey as well, actually. But anyway, he said to me, well, I just start off steady. When everyone's going off, sprinting off to start with, I just take it steady. I just start off really easy. And then what I do is, I just sort of gradually start picking up the pace as I'm going round. And what happens then is, you've got lots of energy. And as you're then picking up the pace, you're overtaking other people. The entire way around, you're overtaking people after a couple of hundred metres. I thought, and he said, that's encouraging for your morale. And it's sort of, yeah, it feels good. It's encouraging. You've got more energy and you can do much better that way. I thought, wow, that sounds awesome. But, you know, it actually took real discipline for me at first to to not sprint, you know. I thought, because you got the energy at first, haven't you? And you're like, yeah. But it took, honestly, it took so much discipline for me to just start off steady. Go! Everyone's, you're like, really? This doesn't feel right, you know. So I'd start off steady. And I would just sort of try and follow what this guy was doing, you know, all these people that did really well. And they would start off really steady. And I was like, okay, so I did this, I'm starting off slow. And then everyone was miles in front of me. But then after a couple of hundred metres, they all started getting tired. And that was when I was just getting warmed up, you know. And then I'm like, right, okay, now start stretching up the legs. And then you're overtaking people then, see ya. You know, and you're running your race. And I was you're overtaking people the whole rest of the route. And it's really, like, encouraging. And you've got much more energy, and you can. And then when you get round to the finishing line, you've still got plenty of energy, and you can sprint at the last little bit and finish like tired. But then you've done your absolute best, and that was tactically the best way to do it. And you know, it's like that for us in our Christian journey. You know, some of us can be very tempted to just see you in a couple of hundred meters, or maybe you're just someone who's just walking, not really running at all. And maybe you need to speed up a bit. So I wonder where you are this morning. I wonder whether you need to just chill out a bit, to slow it down a bit. It's an endurance race. Or whether you just need to get a little steady jog going. Come on, you can do it. Just get going a bit. I wonder where you are and what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about this morning. But it is a marathon and not a sprint. We're to run with perseverance. The race marked out for us, you know, it's our race. It's actually, we're not actually competing against other people. It's our race, and it's marked out for us. We have a lane, you know, that God's prepared, a perfect lane. Each of us do, that God's got a perfect lane marked out for you and for me. Different lanes. We're in the same race, we're going in the same direction, but we're in our own lane. I love that view of the sort of 100 metre final race, you know, where the camera angle shows from behind the sprinters, and all you can see is just their lanes. You see their lanes and the finish line's in sight, and you know you don't see them really looking around to the left or the right, comparing themselves to each other. You know, you see them just focusing straight ahead, looking straight ahead to the finish line, to the end goal, and they're not wandering into other people's lanes or seeing what's going on. They're just running their race. And you know, God has an absolute lane marked out for you that's perfectly designed to build you and to train you and to encourage you and test you, and we can be going through different seasons at the same time. You know, one of the this is one thing I will say, it's our race. I mean, you know, I'm using a couple of illustrations of like competing against each other here, but in actual fact, we're not competing against each other. Our race is marked out for us. And God doesn't see us as competing against each other. He just sees us as running our race. And he wants us to just finish our race well. And not look to the left or the right to each other to try and compare ourselves. Because that'll discourage us as well. You know, you might be going through a season of test and trial. And God might be training you. It might be really hard. And someone else next to you might be just having a downhill bit, you know, in their journey. And that can be discouraging if you see that. And vice versa, you can easily sort of look at someone who's struggling and think, well, it's all right for me. But it's not right. We're just to just run our race, fix our eyes on Jesus, and to just keep going, and to just persevere, and to finish well, you know. One of the tactics they used to use for us in the military was if we were going to take an enemy position. I did have a couple of slides, but it's not going to work. But the PowerPoint doesn't work, but it doesn't matter too much. But one of the tactics that they showed to us to take enemy position was this. If there was, like, let's say, four or five of us in a line, there would be like one enemy bunker a couple of hundred metres straight in front of us. But what would often happen at first, again, is we were told to just run straight in a straight line towards the enemy position, basically, and not to look to each other to see each other out of your peripheral vision, but not to really look to each other. And they said the same thing about the bunker as well, the enemy bunker. They said, you don't want to be really looking at it. I thought, what? You don't want to be looking at like where we're like supposed to be attacking. And they said, you want to see it in your peripheral, but really you don't want to be looking at it. You want to fix a point straight ahead and head there. And then when otherwise what would happen was, if there was some guys over here, and the bunker was, say, where that pillar is, they would be looking to each other, and over distance and time, they would end up moving inwards without even knowing it. And exactly the same thing would happen if they were focusing on the enemy. They would be just ended up going towards it somehow. And over time, it'd all end up really close together, and you could easily just get... And it just could so easily happen. So I wonder what sort of things you're focusing on. It can be very easy, actually, in the wrong way to look to each other. Oh, see how they're doing and looking at each other and comparing ourselves to one another. But that's not the right thing to do. Nor is it the right thing to focus on the enemy too much. I mean, we know he's there. We're all going in the same direction. We're attacking him. We're with each other. But our focus is always on Jesus. We should fix our eyes on him, author and perfecter of our faith. We're together, we're running together, we're running the same way, we have the same objective, but our eyes are always fixed on him. Always fixed on him, nothing else. I remember when I was first learning to drive, and I went on my first sort of out on the motorway, and I was like a bit nervous, first time on the motorway, my little 1 litre car, and I remember being quite excited about it, and was like, yeah, cool, okay, come on, motorway, awesome. So I went onto the motor, I was driving up, done my obvious mirror, signal, manoeuvre, thought I was doing pretty well, got out safe, I was on the motorway, so I started to accelerate faster to keep up with the traffic. And I was going along fine, just steady on the inside lane, getting overtaken by a few cars or whatever. And then I came up behind a lorry, it was going really slow, and I thought, well, it's not right really to sit behind this lorry. You know, I'd be like acting out of fear or whatever. So I thought, I need to overtake it. So I just did, you know, mirror, signal, manoeuvre. A little driving lesson here as well for you if you're learning to drive. Got in the outside lane. Put my foot on the accelerator a bit more and started to overtake the lorry. But I could see the big lorry there. And I was like, yeah, I'm overtaking this lorry, you know. But as I was like looking at it, without even knowing, I was going towards the lorry. My instructor had to lean over. He's like, whoa! I was like, dude, chill out, you know, what are you doing? I've got this man or whatever. But he said, you were drifting towards the lorry. I said, no, I wasn't. I was all right, you know. I was all right. I'm all right. It's so easy to say that sometimes, isn't it? I'm all right. I wasn't doing anything wrong. Whoa. He said, were you looking at the lorry? I said, well, yeah, you know, I was overtaking it. He said, no, don't look at the lorry. Look straight ahead. Look at your lane. That's your lane. Just keep looking at that. See it, yeah, but just keep going straight. And that's exactly what we need to do. You know, not to compare ourselves to one another, to look to one another, not to focus on an unhealthy way on the enemy either. He doesn't deserve that attention. But to fix our eyes on Jesus, not even to focus too much on church, you know. We can easily do that as well. Oh yeah, church, come to our church, it's awesome. Yeah, they're coming to church, it's great. Yeah, they're part of our church. Church, church. What? No. Jesus. 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 Even revival, you know, we're waiting for revival, we believe it's coming. It's going to be phenomenal, but not revival. No. Jesus. Jesus. There's a rival coming, all right. Get on our surfboards. Jesus. When you surf or surfing, you don't see them, you know, looking back for where the wave's coming. They see the wave and then they start paddling. They look forward and then they catch the wave. But they're always looking straight ahead. It's exactly what we should be doing, looking at Jesus. If we focus on the church or revival too much, we'd just be disappointed because You know, we don't know when revival's going to come. We get bored. We get impatient. You know, we get disappointed with the church because no one's perfect. There's no perfect church. But if you focus on Jesus, he'll never let you down. And you'll cope with the church and whatever else. But we focus on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. He's our finish line. He's sat down at the right hand of God. As Stephen was saying, he sat down. He sat down, you know, just at rest. And that's what we're running towards. We're running towards that rest. He sat there watching us. Come on. Come on. You can finish. Come on. We should never lose perspective of eternity and why we're doing everything and the rewards that await us there. That's why we're running this race, and we focus on him and run towards him. And then we'll be at rest, at peace with him forever. Without, you know, there'll be no hard work in the same way as here to do when we get there. It's just going to be a wonderful place of rest and peace and, I don't know, phenomenal. But this isn't our resting place. We're in a race and we need to keep going. And I hope you're encouraged. We need to consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so we won't grow weary and lose heart. You know, if we start comparing ourselves to each other, like I've already said, we can lose heart very easily. Or they're miles ahead of me, or even in the wrong way, I'm better than them. It's not right. We just have to focus on him and consider him who went through so much, you know. He never had half of the joys that we get to experience. And, you know, he sacrificed everything, kept his body for something. To be the spotless, blameless lamb who was nailed to a cross, nailed to a piece of wood for all your sins and all my sins, to carry the burden of the world upon his shoulders and to go through all of that for you and for me. Consider him, consider that, remember that, think of him, remember that. That's why the gospel is just primary in everything we do, because we should never lose sight of that. Because if we do, we'll become weary and lose heart, bored or whatever else. And I don't know if you're like that this morning, whether you're just weary, just tired, but I hope you feel refreshed and encouraged by the Lord this morning, by what he's speaking to you about. Or maybe you just feel bored and you just Monday to Friday, get up, work, home, tea, sleep, up, work, home, tea, Sunday, church, I'm back to work. Or maybe you're just bored and you've lost perspective of the giver of life. And why we're doing everything and who it's for. You know, we don't do things really for others. We do everything for him. We do everything for Jesus. And if we can remember that, it's easy to forget that sometimes and to just serve the church. But really, we're serving him. If we can remember that all the time, we can just do things like much better and with much more heart and passion and love. And without being bored or weary, and without losing heart, you know, maybe you're feeling like you're just losing your heart for stuff, like you're losing your heart for things or for each other or God or church or whatever. And I'll finish with this story of Mike Tyson, one of the best boxers that's ever lived. He, in his younger years, was a phenomenal boxer. He was just incredible, you know, he was like knocking people out left, right and centre. He was amazing because he loved his trainer. He loved his coach, who was a guy called Cus D'Amato. He absolutely loved him. This guy, Cus D'Amato, trained Mike Tyson. He lived with him. He had him as his son in his house. He loved him. He showed him love and encouragement and believed in him. And in all his fights, he did it for him, you know, because he loved him with his heart. He had this passion and this heart for his trainer. And he loved him, and he had his heart was in it. You know, his heart was in everything. He was just awesome. But then what happened was Cus D'Amato died. His trainer died. He had a heart attack, I think, and he died. And then after that, he was up and down. He did all right, and then he just started getting knocked out. And he just didn't care anymore. See, his heart had gone from it, and he wasn't really that bothered anymore. He wasn't doing things for his trainer anymore. He didn't have a reason to do it anymore. He's just, his heart had gone from it. And maybe that's what you're feeling like this morning. Maybe your heart's moved from Jesus. or from what it is that God's called you to do. But we should focus on him. You know, he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He's never going to let us down. You know, he's absolutely for you. He loves you. He's rooting for you. You're always on his screen. He wants you to do well. He loves you when you sin. He's not the big policeman in the sky. He wants to lift you up and encourage you. And come on, you can do it. Keep going. Run the race. You're doing awesome. Don't feel like it, yeah, but you're doing awesome. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Shall we stand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for being our supreme witness in this race. Holy Spirit, would you just come and speak to our hearts right now, just where we are. Come and touch our hearts, touch our minds. Lift us up. Encourage us, Lord, to keep going with this race. It is hard work, Father, but we fix our eyes on you. We choose to keep running, to keep going. Forgive us for our sin. Lord, show us if there's anything we need to strip off to be more streamlined for this race, because it will help us. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, would you speak to each heart now? Show us where we are, where we need to be. If we're just walking and we need to get going a bit, or if we're just blasting along, we don't really know where, and we need to be a bit more disciplined in our race. Would you show us, Lord? Help us to have humility and discipline to be good soldiers in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for each other. We're all in this race together. Help us to all work as a team and not to try and run on our own. With our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. Deliver us from the enemy and an unhealthy focus on him. And help us, Lord, to just every day to wake up and know that we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. In Jesus' name. And just to be encouraged, Father, every day, knowing that. Amen.